talking sports in the morning. This is Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford. They're not in the business of selling cars. They're selling a way to get your luggage and the family dog to the next hockey tournament. Universal Ford Lincoln, it starts with you.
Find you and take it slowly. Ready or not.
7:05, Warner is in. Boom Boom in Vegas. So you do not get the AM Prairie Rock. Not this morning. We got the Fugees Artist of the Day.
Who's this?
The Fugees.
Oh,
you recognize this.
Who is the Fugee?
Yeah, all right. You're a little under the weather. Explain yourself. What's gone wrong?
I'm never sick. I don't get sick.
You're the germaphobe. You don't get sick. All of a sudden, this all changes.
I've got a stuffy nose. It's no fun, I can tell you that. Can't sleep, you wake up, you dry mouth.
Now, the good news is you have no excuse now for not watching the games because you aren't out boozing. You're not outside playing with the kids. You're all holed up in the luxurious 1,000-square-foot condo. Yeah.
The jam-packed condo.
And so you were going to go to the Flames game on Friday, but you actually
my
stayed home.
My buddy Soupy Campbell, he was here, my old roommate, my SARS compatriot.
The SARS scare, buddy.
And I couldn't even drag my arse off the couch. So it's the way it is.
Well, you missed some goals, I'll tell you that.
Was it not 6-5 in Florida?
6-5, it was 6-4 in Florida.
6-4?
Flames got an empty netter.
That's right.
And my two viewings of Al Montoya this year, whoo!
Got to go.
And my first
and you know Luongo's going to play a lot of games, but come on.
Well, they had 3 and 4 days. They had Vancouver Thursday, Calgary. Actually, you know, it was 3 and 5 because they played
I know, but
Edmonton
these guys are fighting for a spot.
Well, they got the win.
They got the
win. But my goodness,
was it
scary.
Well, I haven't looked it up. We should look up Montoya's record.
We will.
Because I'll tell you what, there's 2 more points the Florida Panthers should have had from the game against the Flames in FLA.
That's right. That Sunday afternoon game, way back when.
Old Al had closed the door.
When you allow 5 goals on 30 shots and get a win, there's probably teammates that look at the whiteboard before the game when the starting goalie goes up and they say, oh boy, we need 6 tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the thing with Montoya. If you can't wrestle starts away from Andre Pavlich in Winnipeg, where prior stop in his career, I'm concerned for you. I don't think you're NHL caliber.
Good guy, probably.
Sure, he's a great guy.
Great guy.
Yeah. But
can't play.
Flames lose to Al Montoya. Not good news there.
And I thought that was, now we're going into another big skid, because I was like, oof. Now they go into Vancouver on a back-to-back. They haven't played the Canucks well forever. So there, what would that be? 3 in a row?
Be 4 in a row, because they lost Islanders, Detroit.
That's right.
And then Florida for the first 3 games of 2015.
And then who knows what happens on that big road trip.
Arizona on Thursday.
It's
a lot
still
of time
not
off.
Pretty if they don't go into Arizona or into, well, they got to beat Arizona.
Yeah, but and then you the got other the three teams, California teams.
Exactly, because the other teams are so good, you got to worry about winning those games.
And so that said, Ortio comes up, Bob Hartley, give him credit, rolls the dice with Yoni in what you think might be a weird spot, but the more I think about it, the more this is the perfect place for Yoni Ortio. Familiar
again
with Vancouver, obviously down the road in Abbotsford, he spent some time in the American Hockey League. He's playing great hockey. He's fresh off a nod for the All-Star game in the AHL. And Hiller, frankly, wasn't stunning on
exactly
Friday.
I think that was the biggest reason. If Hiller lets in 2 on Friday night, it might be a different story, but when he lets in more than Montoya,
yeah,
you've got an issue. So, and he hasn't played well for the last few, I don't think.
And we've seen it from Hiller. At times this year, he's looked replacement level, and other times he's looked like an all-star.
Well, hence the reason Anaheim decided to make the switch. It probably didn't know what to count on.
And are they missing him? Well, with the best record in the Western Conference, probably not.
Seem to be doing all right.
They are. And they've got 2 young guys that are cheap, cheap, cheap. Now, for the Flames, do you like to pick up? Absolutely. He's been very good for them. They would
question
not be
is, what do you do
are
now?
But what do you do now? Because Rammel's going to be healthy by Thursday.
Is that what they're saying, Thursday?
Well, I don't know. I'm not the doctor. But it sounded like when they put him on IR, it was very precautionary that it was very minor injury. He seen himself after the game.
I'll tell you what, though. They can manipulate that, right?
Well, they got an open roster spot now because another bit of news happened on Friday. Yeah.
Big Earn.
Your boy.
Yeah, I'd been talking to him, texting him, trying to meet up for a big coffee with the big man. And now he gone.
See what happens when you turn down a coffee date with Retro?
Should I come on the radio, he'd put him in the lineup and scored a couple goals. Guaranteed.
Guaranteed. Guaranteed.
You feel bad for him because I think he is well-liked in that dressing room and he did his job. And the fact of the matter is the job isn't there anymore. What he provides is not really necessary. And when you got England and Bolig, you're kind of overdoing it.
You certainly don't need three of those guys. You might not even need two or one when this team gets better.
There's not a lot. There's the old Hockey Fights website is
slowing down.
Very. They don't have to make a lot of additions.
Traffic is down. What do we do? Well, we can't create more fights in the NHL. And that's what it is. McGrattan's not a guy that has been playing poorly or not doing what he's supposed to do. It's just what he's done in the past to make a living. It isn't there anymore.
Not part of the league.
Show me who he's going to fight on 25 teams in this league. There might only be four or five guys in his weight class still around in this league.
And I don't even know who they'd be.
John Scott would be one.
John Scott. How much is he playing in San Jose?
Little, not a ton. I mean, minutes-wise, you're never going to play anything, but in terms of starts, he's had some.
Yeah.
You saw who the else? Likes of George Parros and Paul Bissonnette not get signed this summer. I like those guys better than Big Earn in some measures. Maybe not in the room, but certainly on the ice, they can play a little. Like, Parros can play a little. A little.
I mean,
we saw Sestito waved by the Canucks earlier. Gone. Like, all the big boys are gone.
Yeah, there's not a lot of. Who's the guy in St. Louis? Reeves? Is he around?
Yeah, but Reeves. But I like how he can plays. Move a little better. He's a fourth liner that can go to the net and
smash.
Yeah, so he's more of a player that can fight. You can't be a fighter anymore. You have to be a player that can fight.
Any chance it comes back?
I don't know. I think this might be it.
This is the trend.
Well, are fights going to start picking up?
The only way I see the fighting pick up is if you do get a bunch of guys that are tough and can play. And then you still go, well, that's great, but why do I need? But here would be an example. You're the Oilers.
Yeah.
Well, your top guys aren't tough.
No.
They're skilled. So maybe you do need to protect them a little bit.
Well, and they got Luke Gazdick. Yeah. Just had a tough time putting him in the lineup. And, you know, they've got Matt Hendricks and a few other. They're a little more difficult to play with.
Different kind of tough.
Against now. And Roy's not. I mean, yeah, there's no big boys. I mean, yeah. Gazdick is, but he doesn't play a lot. So
you've accomplished your goal of ruining one man's dream, running him out of town. I appreciate
that. We talked about it in the summer, Rhett, or before the season started, and you and Boomer thought I was absolutely nuts to suggest that he's not NHL caliber.
Well, I actually don't know. I don't remember that conversation.
Oh, come on. What you just said, my mission is complete. I mean, you're poking fun at me, but the point was, I'd been saying for some time that as good of a guy as he is, he doesn't make you better, and he doesn't help you win, and there's not enough fighting anymore to justify the roster spot.
And the proof is in the pudding.
Is that what it is? I thought it was the truth.
It's bold.
Okay. Other moves made by the Flames. We mentioned they lose Friday night. They win 1-0. Ortio is great.
Lightning in a bucket.
You've got to make a decision there, you'd think. They make a trade on the weekend as well. In fact, right before the Florida game, they pick up Drew Shore.
From?
Florida.
Weird.
You get two GMs in the same room.
Crazy.
Easy to hammer things out. Apparently the... maybe Ken King's cracking down on long-distance phone charges. I don't know.
So who is this guy?
Gotta wait till the guy's in there. Drew Shore, U.S. development team, Denver University, and he's been in Florida's system for some time. We'll find out more in, about 5-6 minutes. We'll get Dan Weiss, the play-by-play voice of San Antonio Rampage, on for a quick minute. What does he look like? How is he in the face-off dot? Does he look better at wing or at center? How are his feet? Bit of a knock earlier in the career. Wasn't the best skater, but a big boy. And a skilled player. I think he fits the window for this club in terms of his age.
Now, wasn't that Knight kid with Florida
Corbin
before?
Knight? Yeah, Florida drafted him. And Knight was not unlike, I suppose, the Justin Schultz. Well, that's totally different. Schultz wasn't drafted. Not unlike where Johnny Gaudreau was, where he said, well, maybe I'll go back and I can become a free agent after my fourth year. Gaudreau signs and doesn't go back for a senior year. Knight played his senior year. Then he's a free agent August 15th. So Florida knew they probably weren't going to be able to sign him because he'd be looking for a better franchise opportunity in the NHL.
Yeah.
Florida's got a little log backlog down the middle.
Yeah.
And so they get, what, a fourth rounder from the Flames for him. Now they get him back in exchange for Drew Shore. And Drew Shore was running into the issue that Corbin Knight thought he saw and avoided in Florida, which was, look at them down the middle. You've got Barkov, a what, number two overall pick from two summers ago.
Yeah.
You've got Bjugstad, a 6'6" center that just got extended for 6 years times $4 million.
Playing all right.
Awesome. So what, 15 goals? And you've got Jonathan Huberdeau, a guy up front that makes plays. Who else am I missing? I mean, this is a deep club down the middle and a talented one. And
what did you think of the, I mean, it was such a, it seemed to me such a sloppy game, a 6-5 game. I mean,
we said it when you heard Montoya was the starter, a playoff caliber team finds a way to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
Do they not?
You better.
You can't lose that game.
You better.
Can't. Not when you get a Montoya.
And if you do win that game, we got two more. You're in. You're actually in a playoff spot.
And does that not? And I'm not saying, you know, the one game decides the whole season, but it's indicative of what a playoff team does.
Yeah.
Just like when you watch.
And you'd lost two in a row already.
Yeah. So that's your third straight loss.
At home.
Correct. After a 3-0 start to a 6-game homestand, they lost their last three. They got it close against the Islanders. They got it close against the Wings. You can understand losing to both those teams. They both could be home ice teams in the East.
And that's what we talked about. Okay, well, how long does the love affair with being close? Because last year, close game, that's okay. Now they come out of the gates, play so well, put themselves in that position to fight for a playoff spot. Now, is it good enough? Are we content?
They currently are 1 point back of Los Angeles. Kings have a game in hand. That's your final playoff spot in the West. But it's more complicated than that because they're just two back of San Jose and Vancouver. And right now, as it stands, Vancouver would have home ice in the first round. I think what we thought when we looked at the Pacific Division this summer was there's the three California teams, a huge chasm, and then everyone else.
Yeah.
It's turned out to be Anaheim and a huge chasm, and then everyone else, and then another tier before the Coyotes and the Oilers. So I think a lot of people still think they're within range, and they certainly are within range. It's just when you've got three in a row in California coming up, you're going to look back and say, how did we not get any points against Florida at home when Montoya got the start?
And let in five.
Yes.
Not only got the start, but let in five.
Well, yeah, we score five against Montoya and we don't win.
The other, now you're letting those other teams catch up to you too. Like, I thought Colorado's
coming
dead in the water, but boy, they've come on.
7-3 in their last 10.
And you talked about it last week. Does Iginla get 30? What's he at now?
I believe.
He only scored a couple.
He had two the other night, gone, what, to 12?
Just wondering if he had any more besides that.
We'll dig up the total.
All of a sudden, he'll start turning it on. And
so right now, as it stands, Colorado has played one fewer game and is 3 points back. So you've got to look in the rearview mirror, not just forward. Colorado's been the better team in the last month. No question.
Okay, here you go. Talking about Colorado, who's their top two scorers?
Iginla leads them in goals, correct?
Top two scorers, goals and no, both. Because they are
the same guys.
They're one and the same.
So Iginla's one of them, right?
Yep.
And I would say Duchesne?
Alex Tanguay.
Tanguay, wow.
They both have 12 and 15.
What's going on with the kids in Colorado?
Exactly. Now,
Duchesne, Landeskog, McKinnon,
here's my conspiracy theory. What happened to the kids in Calgary with Iggy and
they didn't have any.
Tanguay? Well, I guess you're right.
They didn't have all-stars like those guys.
But yeah, these guys, Landeskog, Duchesne, they're a point back of those guys. But I thought they'd be blowing them out of the water. I'm shocked to see that.
I am too. We will get to more on that in a moment. But back to the Flames really quickly. We sat here last week and said, what do we expect out of Michael Backlund? He did not look himself the first 11 games of the year. He's in a contract year. It's a career that has been marred with, in many people's minds, inconsistency
and injury.
And unarguable is the fact he's been injured a lot.
Yes.
Last year, he was healthy. It was his best NHL season. I believe he was their best forward last year. That returned because Monahan got sheltered nicely. Hudler isn't known for defense or going against other teams' top lines. And there's Backlund. There wasn't a lot of competition. It was a fifth from the bottom team. So take it with a huge grain of salt that he was one of their better forwards last year, but he didn't look himself early. This injury keeps coming up again. And now all of a sudden, it's 5 points in three games. He's scored in every game since he's come back. And whichever line he's been on has got going and had to play against other teams' top lines.
Yeah, well, you can't say enough right now. And I'm not saying I'm shocked by it, but I'm surprised he's playing this well.
He's been their best forward, what, three nights in a row, right?
Yes. And he looks like a star. Like he looks like a legitimate, give me the puck kind of guy where I'm going to make a difference right now. And boy, for the Flames and the fans, that's a great thing to have.
1 point out of the playoffs, this is found money. What about Drew Shore? They added him in trade. When we come back next, a man who knows Drew Shore very well, Dan Weiss, the play-by-play voice of the San Antonio Rampage. That's the AHL affiliate of the Florida Panthers. Who is Drew Shore? Who's Rob Kerr? We'll come back with that next on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Talking sports in the morning. This is Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford. They're not in the business of selling cars. They're selling a way to get your luggage and the family dock to the next hockey tournament. Universal Ford Lincoln, it starts with you.
7:26 on your Monday morning. It is Pinder and Warner in. Boomer on vacation. Calgary Flames make a move Friday just ahead of their contest with the Florida Panthers. Corbin Knight returned to the team that drafted him, and the Calgary Flames pick up Drew Shore. Who is Drew Shore? For more information, we jump on the Lube City Mobile One Sportsnet hotline. Mobile One, the official motor oil of NASCAR, and Lube City Express Oil Change. Dan Weiss, the play-by-play voice of the San Antonio Rampage, joins us. Morning, Dan.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Fantastic. How is San Antonio? I hear you're at home for a bit. This is we're in the minus 20 range around here over the weekend. What's San Antonio like?
Definitely not minus 20, not Celsius, that's for sure. But we have, you know, there is winter here in Texas. Those probably don't believe it at the deep south level. But, you know, we had some freezing precipitation not too far away from us over the weekend. But today it's the balmy 45, expected high of about, 55 or probably about 12 for your listenership there.
All right. Well, bundle up. Hey, Dan. So who is Drew Shore? This is a guy you've got to see play a ton, and the Flames just added. We need some expertise here.
Well, I think first and foremost, he's a National Hockey Leaguer, and I think that should be of satisfaction initially to Calgary Flames fans. The only reason that Drew Shore was in the American Hockey League, he had a very unique contract situation. He signed his entry-level deal prior to the new collective bargaining agreement being, ratified back in 2013. So in the old collective bargaining agreement, it stipulated that you could only play up to 69 games in the National Hockey League and still have your waiver exempt status count. And so Drew was at 67 games, which basically meant that had he been called up to the Florida Panthers at any point this year, he likely would have played his two games and there would have been no way he would have been able to clear waivers to be sent back down to San Antonio in the American Hockey League. So he was essentially, I don't want to say buried in the American League, but that's basically what it was. But to his credit, he was very aware of the situation, obviously, as a young kid, and he worked his tail off. I mean, he was on the verge of a breakout season offensively, still obviously is, averaging a point per game. But what I've really liked from Drew over the past, I would say couple of months is, his two-way game has been exceptional, and I know that if he's going to go play for Bob Hartley in Calgary, he's going to have to be really accountable in the defensive zone, and I think that's one area of his game that he's really improved on under Tom Rowe, and I think he'll be a nice fit for Calgary. Will he be a Johnny Gaudreau exciting type player? That's probably not his level, but I think he's going to be a very good National Hockey Leaguer.
So make no mistake, the depth of the Florida Panthers down the middle and this unusual contractual, outlier at this point are the only reasons he's not a Florida Panther when this trade is made or that necessitated the trade, I suppose.
Yeah, and, you know, the Florida Panthers made a couple of acquisitions in the offseason. They signed Dave Bowen and they signed Derek McKenzie, and you pair that along with Nick Bjugstad and Alexander Barkov, and they were basically set up the middle before the season started. And so that left guys like Drew Shore, and at the beginning, a guy like Vinny Trocheck on the outside looking in. And so, you know, a lot of teams obviously are you know, happy to have depth because it gives them options, especially in injury situations. But at the same time, it gives them options, you know, as trade chips and bargaining assets. And I think a lot of people view Drew Shore as a potential trade chip. You know, I'm sure Panther fans probably would have liked to seen if he was going to be traded, acquired for a guy who might have been a full-time National Hockey Leaguer. And while Corbin Knight certainly has the potential to be one, he isn't a full-time National Hockey Leaguer right now. So I'm sure there might have been a little bit of head-scratching on that end. But at the same time, I think in Drew's case, he's getting the opportunity. And I think there's some kudos to be given to Dale Tallon for giving Drew an opportunity if he wasn't going to be in Florida's plans to go, you know, get the opportunity to play in the NHL elsewhere.
It's his third full season as a pro. What's the evolution of his game been under your eyes in San Antonio?
Yeah, you know, third season as a pro, and he's going to turn 24 here at the end of the month. So he's not a young kid per se by, you know, by that stretch. He's got three full years of collegiate hockey and you know, his third full season, as you mentioned, in the American Hockey League. Again, I think his defensive game has really come along considerably to the point where he's trusted to play, you know, penalty kill minutes, which, you know, as a first and second year guy, he really wasn't. His vision on the ice really is exceptional, and I think he's got an above average shot. I don't think he shoots the puck enough, and that might be something that they'll kind of press to him. But he's got a pretty good shot as well, and you know, for a guy who, again, you know, was dealt with the situation that he was dealt with, there were essentially two ways you could have gone with. You could have basically gone with the woe is me attitude and, you know, kind of sulked your way in the American League, or you could have worked your tail off, and Drew chose the latter. And so I think that's reflective of the maturity of the kid as well. He's got a great attitude. He was really loved in the locker room. He's a great teammate, and whether he's in Adirondack or whether he's in Calgary, he's going to fit in well to the room.
He's listed as a center and a right winger. Where have you seen him primarily this year, and where's he best?
Well, I think he's best as a center. I think if there's one area of his game he needs work on is still his work in the circles on faceoffs and his positioning. And I think that comes along as you just, you know, gain more confidence playing the position. They tried him last year as a right winger in Florida during training camp. In fact, he played a few preseason games as a right winger. And, you know, I thought he had a little bit of success there. And I actually thought that was probably going to be where they transitioned him position-wise, considering their depth up the middle, but they decided that experiment wasn't to their liking. They were going to shift him back to center, and so he's played center the entire year. I'd be shocked if he moved from center right now, but you know, it's hard to say with each team's depth what you're looking for position-wise. But he's primarily a center, and I think he plays the position really well.
As for the physicality, he's 6'3", 200. Does he throw that around a bit in terms of putting his shoulder into people?
Yeah, he's not a small kid, that's for sure. You know, so he definitely can line up with the bigger centers, and he can definitely throw his weight around. He's obviously not a guy who's gonna drop the gloves, but he's gonna, you know, he can certainly, I guess, play those third and fourth line roles, you know, that give you energy and that give you a sense of physicality out there. And I think that's also what makes him kind of a pretty unique player, is that he's got that versatility. He doesn't need to be in a top six role to thrive. And frankly, you know, I don't expect him to jump right into a top six role in the National Hockey League. I think he's going to, you know, at the beginning project to be a third or fourth line center. But he does have the skill set. He does have the hockey IQ to move into a top six role. So I think that versatility also makes him an attractive player. And again, I think Calgary's getting a good player. They're going to get a solid National Hockey Leaguer, and you know, I think they'll be happy with what they receive.
We were chatting with the play-by-play voice of the San Antonio Rampage, Dan Weiss, about Drew Shore, the newest acquisition of the Calgary Flames. He was added in trade prior to Friday's game against the Panthers, who held his rights. Corbin Knight going to Florida, and Drew Shore now reporting to Adirondack. We'll see whether or not he gets the nod from the big club anytime soon. Dan, we were chatting a bit on the weekend. You just happened to have seen the Adirondack Flames very recently. What did you make of the Flames AHL farm squad?
Well, they're a good hockey team. And I know that, you know, the American Hockey League's a lot about consistency. And so talking with Ryan Huska, their head coach, after the game, you know, he said that was the game they played against us, arguably one of their best of the season. Their transition game is really something to marvel. And, you know, the guys that I've really been impressed with down there are players like Ben Hanowski, you know, and Billy Arnold. I think those guys are going to be really special players going forward in their careers. I think they're both obviously young players, and so they need to, you know, round out their games. But their offensive talent is impressive. And then just speaking about Jani Ordio, who just got called up here over the weekend too, you know, he 2 years ago when Jani Ordio was in Abbotsford, he looked lost at times. He didn't look like he was comfortable playing the North American game. And then last year was like he was an entirely different goaltender. He became the dominant force that you're looking for at any level of hockey to really anchor your team. And again, even though he had a bit of a slow start this year, I think he might have had a little bit of a hangover for the success that he had last season. He's really turned it around. He was exceptional in the net against us. So that's a good team. That's a team that, in my opinion, is built for the playoffs, is built for a long run. They've got the goaltending. They've got the offense. You know, I think like any American League team, they're going to have some deficiencies on the back end. But there's some exciting young prospects that Calgary fans should be excited about.
Dan, that's about as thorough of an update as we could get. So I appreciate your insights on Adirondack. Enjoy the homestand you're on now with San Antonio. And you got a good kid in Corbin Knight coming your way. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Okay, thanks, Ryan. Take care.
All right, that is Dan Weiss, the play-by-play voice of the San Antonio Rampage, checking in. Who is Drew Shore? Sounds like a
piece. NHL player.
NHL player, he says. Thoughts?
Well, I've never seen the kid play. You hope he is. Of course, that's the idea.
First we heard on this was about a month ago with Elliot Friedman, and he'll join us in 3-4 minutes time. So we got to get out of here pretty quick because we'll pick Elliot's brain because he called this. He said, you know, we always ask him, what are you hearing around the league? What's the buzz around Joe? Well, Drew Shore is going to get moved because if he plays 2 more NHL games, he can't pass through waivers anymore. So the only thing keeping him out of the Florida lineup is the fact that they won't be able to return him to the A. So they're not calling him up. He's an NHL caliber player. It's just a matter of working out a deal. So all of a sudden, Calgary Flames. Now, what do? They got an open roster spot. If Ramo gets healthy and they send Ordio down, as you'd probably suggest they might, do they call this guy up? Or is it someone else's turn? Is it Ferland again? Is it time for Emil Poirier to get a sniff?
I think it's good to keep doing it. But if he comes up now, is that the issue for the Flames?
That's right. They inherit that issue. So they might start him down and wait and see. But again, he would, I believe, be their leading scorer on Adirondack.
He is their leading by 6 points. I'm looking at
it
right
now. So there you are. And no games played yet, I believe, with Adirondack. But good scouting report from Weiss. Responsible in his own zone. Big body, not shy.
Big body.
Great vision. The ability potentially to move into the top six as his career evolves, but dirty enough to be able to play in the bottom six for the time being. The only thing he said is he's got to work on the faceoff dot. And if you're struggling in the AHL, it's not going to get easier moving up a level on the faceoffs.
Not at all.
He's no one's perfect. So, but a nice add for Corbin Knight, who was, again, not a full-time NHLer, as Dan pointed out.
He was going to have to, have things go real well to become a full-time NHLer.
We'll break when we come back. Elliot Friedman's thought on that swap and a lot of what we saw on the weekend. Are the Red Wings in trouble? They just lost their goalie. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Talking sports in the morning. This is Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Drumming my pain with his fingers. Singing my life with his words. Killing me softly with his song. Killing me softly.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings. Brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. They're not in the business of selling cars. They're selling a way to get your kids' hockey team to practice. Universal Ford Lincoln, it starts with you.
Wait for it, Retro. Here comes the beat.
Yeah. It's really good. Love it.
It's great. 7:45. It's time to talk a little NHL hockey. For that, we join our NHL insider.
Sportsnet 960 hockey insider Elliot Friedman is brought to you by Eastside Kia. Until February 2nd, get a 2015 Sorento LX with half-price payments of just $40 weekly for 1 year. Eastside Kia, 23rd Street and Barlow, or eastsidekia.ca.
Elliot, are you a big Fugees guy? Does this go up? Does this bring you back somewhere?
Sorry, are you cut out for a second there, Ryan? What was that?
You a big Fugees fan?
You know, a little bit. I like some of their stuff. Our politics didn't always agree, but I really like their music.
Very good. You had talked about it about a month ago, and being the seer of things in the future that have not happened yet that you are. Drew Shore was indeed moved, as you suggested, in December, and it was the Calgary Flames having to pick him up. What do you make of the Corbin Knight for Drew Shore swap?
Well, first of all, I have to confess, I did not hear Calgary as one of the teams. It makes a lot of sense, but I didn't know that about Calgary's interest to that level. I think Drew Shore is a really interesting player in the sense that, you know, normally when you think of a player who's, you know, got a chance to, a young player who's got a chance to be in the National Hockey League, you think, oh, there's the last team you'd think that wouldn't have room for him would be the Florida Panthers. But that's kind of the way it went there. They've got Barkov and Bjugstad as their top centers, and there was nothing they could really do because you can't have a guy like that playing a third or fourth line position. So, I mean, I knew he was available. I knew a lot of teams were watching him. And I can tell you that there are a few teams out there that said, this guy is ready to play in the National Hockey League. And he's got a chance to do something there. I don't know if anybody's expecting him to be a superstar, but he is a player who's got ability. And he could score at the AHL level. He could defend at the AHL level. And I think what happened was the Panthers kind of got squeezed simply by the fact that they, you know, teams looked at them. They knew he was out almost out of waiver options. And, you know, they said they're stuck. So Calgary takes advantage. And I think there's a young player there who I think will get a chance in Calgary to do some things that could make him, that give him a chance to be a decently effective player.
Yoni Oriol comes up and gets a shutout for the Flames. Does that create a situation, at any chance of creating a situation as far as the Flames' goaltending status is concerned?
Well, I think what it does, Rhett, is that it gives you reason to give the guy a longer look, right? Like, you know as well as anybody else that, you know, the toughest thing in the National Hockey League is to be consistent. Nobody's expecting Oreo to throw a shutout every time out. But I think what that does do for you is an organization is, look, everybody in Calgary knows how hard it was for him to get to that game the other day. He had every excuse in the world not to be very good, and he threw a shutout against a team that was better. Like, I don't think anybody's going to argue that Calgary was better than Vancouver. And I think what that does is it says, you know what, you know, this guy's a gamer, and this guy deserves maybe a bit more of a look. You know, so I think what he does is he creates the impression, at least, that we have to see what we've got a bit more of here, because this is a guy who played very well in a situation where it would have been very easy for him to not be very good.
Last night we got Jets taking on Anaheim. Timu Solani, obviously the retirement thing. Any special stories about Timu or anything that you fondly remember?
Well, I mean, obviously he was a really easy guy to cover. Rhett, you know, he was always in a good mood. Like when Burke was in Anaheim with Carlisle, they said they really needed Solani to overcome the grouch factor of both him and Carlisle, and I think that's true to some degree. I think he's one of those guys who was usually always in a good mood when you come to a rink. He was phenomenal to deal with from a media point of view. You know, I just think that, you know, he, I think the thing I really remember the most was when he was in Anaheim and they were going for the Stanley Cup, he told a great story. At our hotel, there were a whole bunch of guys from Finland, about 11 of his buddies, who he flew into Anaheim to be there when they had a chance to clinch. So we mentioned to him that they were staying at our hotel, and he goes, you know what, did they tell you about the flight? And we go, no, they didn't tell us anything. They said he had 11 guys on that plane, and they drank the plane dry. There was no alcohol left for anybody else on the flight because of the how much those guys drank when they were on it. And that is probably the story. I know it's not really a Tamu story, but it's the story I always laugh at the most because I thought that was pretty hilarious.
Colorado's, we've ripped on them a little bit here in Calgary, kind of with Jerome being there and stuff. But I look at the stats this morning. Tanguay and Aginla, top of the charts in Colorado as far as point scoring. Is that a good thing if you're Colorado?
That team is going through a lot of stuff, I think is the best way to put it. You know, they've really, you know, I think they knew, Rhett, that last year was a bit of a fluke, that Varlamov really carried them to a higher level than they were. But I don't think they expected it to bottom out as quite as much as it has this year. I think they're going to have, like, I think they've been kind of disappointed in some of their guys. I, you know, I hear O'Reilly's name is kind of out there. I wouldn't be surprised if Colorado is getting to the point where they're kind of saying, you know, maybe we have to make a decision on him and maybe it's time. But they need defense really badly, and they don't have a lot of defense coming. So I think I could really see a situation where they're kind of looking at it and saying, if we can get a defenseman, maybe Ryan O'Reilly is the guy who gets us that. But I do think they're kind of looking. I mean, McKinnon, he's had a really rough year, and I don't think you jump off that bandwagon. I mean, the kid's only 19 years old, but I think he's learning this year, Rhett, how hard it is to be a consistently successful player in this league.
It's interesting. There's been some moves they've made in the last calendar year that make you sort of shake your head, getting rid of P.A. Parento, a second rounder for Rito Barra, who's just been awful and had really not much of a sample size in the NHL. And then to spend all that money on Jerome instead of bringing back a young Stastny at a similar number. And they don't add a defenseman, which everyone looked at that roster last year and said, why aren't they adding D, not forwards in free agency?
You know, they had a really strange off season, and you know, Colorado is kind of a different team in the sense that they, you know, negotiations with them are never easy, Ryan. Like, for whatever reason, they always seem to go through situations where, you know, it just never ends well for a lot of their key players. Now, the one thing I do believe is they were doing that in some ways, keeping their salary structure down because they know they have to deal with McKinnon in a few years. But I kind of look at their situation and I say, okay, where are the long-term decisions going to be coming from here? And, you know, I think, you know, they those guys know Aginla. I think that's one of the reasons they decided to do it. And Aginla had a longer offer on the table from the New York Islanders. They were prepared to give him more term. So Colorado had to go to that third year to get him. Barra, well, that's because Allaire, who has long ties to Switzerland, he knew Barra from over there. So I think that's one of the reasons they decided to make a gamble, which looks like it's going to backfire in a big way. But, you know, I think Colorado, they have some big-time long-term decisions to make, and I'm curious to see where they're going to go with them.
Just wanted to circle back to some Flame stuff. We talked about Drew Shore. The Flames now inherit, which was the dilemma with his contract. When do you bring him up? Because once you do, he can't go back down, essentially. And then in the similar vein, what do you do with Ortio with, you know, Kari Ramo's injury? Last we heard, it wasn't that serious. He is eligible to come back for their next game, which isn't till Thursday. What would you do if you're a GM in Calgary in terms of Shore and Ortio short term?
Well, I think what you're thinking with Drew Shore is you want to put him in a position to succeed. Like, obviously now Calgary is going to have something invested in him because they know that, you know, he's pretty much theirs, right? So, you know, when you're bringing him back up, you want to be a situation where you want to know that he's going to be there for good. So I think that's what you do when you're the Flames. You create a situation where you're saying, okay, when we bring up Drew Shore, he's ready to play here the rest of the way. I think, you know, I always look at the situation with Ordeo. If you look at what Brad Treliving did last week, he created a situation. He had a situation where the first move he made, it was Granlund, because Granlund didn't need waivers. So I think at the end of the day, you have to always maximize the assets on your roster. What's the best thing for our team? Does a guy need waivers, or does a guy not need waivers? And I think by his actions last week, you learned about your general manager that if it's a move that doesn't need waivers, that's going to be the first one he makes.
Yeah, we saw that with Setoguchi earlier in the year in terms of they gave him a long leash when guys did have that, you know, waiver exempt status. They'd send them down to continue to allow Setoguchi a chance. That one, finally, his hand was forced. Same thing with Brian McGrattan, who'd played one of their last 21 games. A thought on him and the role he plays, because a lot of people in Calgary were clamoring for more opportunity for Big Earn.
Well, you know, I have a real soft spot for Brian McGrattan. You know, not like we're friends or anything like that, but I've covered him for a long time. I know, obviously, he's been very honest about what he's been through. And I think, to be honest, I think the biggest worry, Ryan, a lot of people had was, you know, if this is the end, you know, what does that mean for his future? He's fought such an incredible battle to keep himself on a clean path. And I think people were kind of worried, you know, what happens if this is the end? But I love the quotes I saw from him last week. It sounds like he's got the absolute right attitude about this. And, I root for guys like that because, as he said, he's overcome a lot to get to this point. That's not an easy battle. You know, knowing and being around Ottawa and doing a lot of Ottawa games at that time, you know, we heard a lot of the stories about what he was going through. So I root for McGrattan, and I love what he said, and I hope that even if he's not back in the NHL as a player, he, you know, somewhere, some way, maybe there's a role for him that can help him continue to be involved in the game.
All eyes on the crease in Detroit. Jimmy Howard stretchered off on Saturday night with an apparent groin injury, and now youngster Peter Mrazek, who perhaps made his name in Calgary at the World Juniors, is suddenly their number one. What do you make of it?
Well, I know they really love Mrazek. He played an exhibition game in Toronto last year, and I remember asking them about him, and they said, it's not a matter of if, but when. I think this is probably sooner than they would have liked. And Howard's having a really incredible year. To me, the biggest question is going to be, you know, he's out at least until the All-Star break. And, you know, you have to assume it's probably going to be longer. I kind of wonder, you know, what do the Detroit Red Wings do in terms of, do we have to add another body? Gustafson is out too. Their backup now is Thomas McCollum. I wonder if they're kind of in a position where, you know, a guy like Jonas Anroth or something like that, did they take the chance and go out and get him? To me, that's going to be the biggest question is, you know, how long-term is Howard out? I think they believe in Mrazek. I know they really like him. But my biggest question is, how long do they say we need to go get somebody else on a short term because our goaltending depth isn't that deep?
Yeah, and it sounds like Minnesota's in the same spot. Who are the names out there aside from Enroth? I continue to look at Calgary's spot with Ramo, a pending free agent, and Ortio's contract moving into a one-way next year.
Well, I think the one thing is that when I spoke to Chuck Fletcher, he made it very clear that one of his biggest issues was that he hadn't yet found anybody that he thought was a marked improvement on what they already had. Now, he denied talking about Enroth with me. I know the name Cam Ward has been out there a lot, but I did kind of hear on the weekend that I'm not sure Minnesota wants to do that. That's a big salary commitment for next year, and I think there's a lot of different opinion on how Cam Ward has done this year. I think there's been a real improvement in him, Ryan, but people still wonder, is he really back at the elite level that people have kind of expected at him? So, the other team to watch about all this, Ryan, is Vancouver. Like, Eddie Lack is a year away from unrestricted free agency, and they've got Markstrom in the minors too. But I don't know if you're the Canucks, if you're going to help Minnesota when you're battling with them for a playoff position. I think the biggest question right now is there a goaltender out there available who the Minnesota Wild look at and say, that guy is much better than what we've got to the point where we're willing to give up a sizable asset for him? And to this point, I don't think Chuck Fletcher's found that guy yet.
What else are you hearing around the league finally?
Well, I think the other interesting kind of stuff out there is, you know, I checked, I was asking a couple teams who I thought might be interested in Eric Staal, and they're kind of telling me that they're under the impression that Eric Staal will not waive his no-trade this year. And I kind of looked into that, and that's the impression I got. I mean, there's still 6 weeks to the deadline, so you never know if anything changes, but there sure are teams who seem to believe he's not going to be available, at least not this season. So that was one of the things I was kind of hearing. I heard there were some teams out there who might be interested in Matt Hendricks from the Oilers, but I'm not sure Edmonton's willing to trade him. I think they realize they need veterans, and they really like what he brings there in that room. So I'm not sure he's going to be available. There's also a conference call tomorrow about the World Cup to see if they can start or finish nailing down some of those details. The other thing I heard is Dean Wolberg never works. Like, is he ever at the show?
Oh, jeez.
It's a convenience thing, Elliot. If it's convenient for him, he'll come in.
And if Rhett's telling you that Dean doesn't work a lot, I mean, what am I stuck with here? I mean, I feel like I'm hosting every other week.
You know what, Rhett? You'll appreciate this. He's like the Maxima Finneganov of Calgary Radio. He works for 41 games and he misses 41 more.
Oh, I went with Max to Australia, Elliot. I got all kinds of stories.
you know that Max Pacioretty is his brother-in-law, eh?
Did not.
Wow. No, yeah, Max Pacioretty married his sister. And
a tennis player.
Yeah. Actually, he met her at the U.S. Open, I think.
Oh, wow.
I was asking Pacioretty about him, and he says, great guy. And I go, does he miss the NHL? I think Max goes, not really. So that was pretty fun.
Well, Dean is in Vegas, so if you want to throw down some loot on the futures bet for the Stanley Cup, that's your man on the scene, all right?
All right. Tell him to put a couple bucks down on Winnipeg for me.
Couple bucks on Winnipeg. Very good. All right, maybe we'll talk about
them. I like long shots.
Yeah. later in the week, we'll catch up. Maybe we'll touch the Jets. They have been interesting this year.
All right. Take care, my man. Have a great week, guys.
Sportsnet 960 Hockey Insider Elliot Friedman is brought to you by Eastside Kia. Until February 2nd, get a 2015 Sorento LX with half-price payments of just $40 weekly for 1 year. Eastside Kia, 23rd Street and Barlow, or eastsidekia.ca.
Oh, Winnipeg, huh? A couple bucks on one of the long shots, big team, starting to get some goaltending? Maybe. We'll check in with Elliot on Friday and maybe explore that a little further. We'll pause when we come back. It is time to talk more Flames hockey with Derek Wills. Three outstanding performances, one by a GM to get a player that some are calling NHL ready for a farmhand, or at least a guy that's in the minors. Another outstanding performance, Yoni Ortio in net. And Michael Backlund's got 5 points in his first three games back. Wills on all of that next on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.